Grace and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as together we worship on this certainly wonderful warm summer day. If you have a very good memory, perhaps you'll recall that during the season of Lent, I had said there are probably two parables from the Gospel of Luke, which everyone knows. Everyone who's a Christian knows these two parables. And the first parable is the prodigal son. And earlier this year, during the season of Lent, we heard that parable and were able to focus on the parable, on the father's love for his son, and of the concern the elder brother had because of what had happened and what was given to the younger brother. Today we have the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I tend to think that all of us here probably can come up with an answer as to what's the point of it. What are we supposed to get out of this particular parable? And even though we're scattered out here, and this is not a classroom, I'm going to ask you, what should we get out of this parable of the Good Samaritan? What's the simple truth of God's word as we've heard it not only today but so many other times? What would you say is the thing we should learn from this parable? And you can raise your hand if you want to, or you could just raise your voice.
Helping others.
Certainly we can say this parable is about helping others. And if you walked away from tonight's sermon with only that, with that and that alone, certainly that would be worth it, helping others. Doug, your hand is almost up.
Isn't this the story where the Jews and the Samaritans go along, and everybody passed on the other side, the Samaritan put all that aside to go take care of this man and give him his own money? So really, when I hear this, I think to myself, am I really selflessly giving of myself in situations?
It's always good to wonder, are you doing enough to help others? And what you need to realize about this parable is, of course, the Jews and the Samaritans really despised one another. At least a lot did. Maybe not every Jew hated every Samaritan. But the truth is, as a generalization in Jesus' day, Jews and Samaritans not only did not like one another, they really did despise one another. And that had to do with their history. When the Jews were led into Babylon, in chains, the Samaritans were able to stay in their area of the country, in the northern part of Israel. And so when they came back, when the Jews returned to Judea, to their province, they already saw the Samaritans worshiping. And then it was a matter of who was worshiping properly, because the Jews who had come back from terrible ordeal said that they were worshiping properly now that they were back in their homeland. They were building another temple and they were worshiping properly. But the Samaritan said, while you were gone, we have been worshiping properly. And curiously enough, we don't worship in Jerusalem. That's not where the temple should be. But it should be on Mount Gerizim. Gerizim, I believe it's pronounced. In any case, it's up where we live, not down where you live. And so besides having a different history and responding to invaders in different ways, they really did kind of despise one another. So when you hear this parable of the Good Samaritan, you have to realize that when Jesus was telling this parable, he was telling it to a Jewish audience. And so when he says the priest walked by and did nothing, the Levite walked by and did nothing, and then he comes up to the third person, and this is the kicker. Even in our day, we know that, you know, we do by threes. One, two, the third one is the kicker. This is the one who should save the man. And he said, a Samaritan was passing by. And everyone who heard the story originally said, well, you know, if you think that man who was beaten and robbed and left half dead had a bad day, boy, it just got considerably worse. Because it was supposed by the people who heard the story, at least by some of them, that the Samaritan would finish him off. If he was half dead, he only had to die another half and he'd be dead. And so that's the way it was meant to be heard, at least among some of the Jewish people who were hearing this story, this parable for the first time. But instead, we have a good Samaritan who acts more faithfully, more lovingly, than indeed even the priest and the Levite did. Now, there are some people who will tell you that the priest and the Levite were bound by the rules of their faith not to touch a body that was dead. And so if this man was dead and they touched it, they would be ritually unclean and they would have to be purified before they could return to the temple. And so that's a problem, but life and, you know, helping someone in need is more important than being ritually impure. So there's other excuses that you can come up with. Maybe they were afraid of being robbed by the same people who robbed them. You know, there's a possibility that this was a trick, that he was along the side of the road and that the robbers were going to jump out and grab them. So there are some reasons. There are some reasons why we would not want to get involved. That's what makes it even more remarkable that a Samaritan would help someone who is so badly injured along the side of the road, someone who may be dead. And in our day, I think the only way to understand this parable is to think about someone who you can never imagine helping you. I tend to think it's hard to, you know, we have no enemies, right? We have no enemies. We Christians don't have enemies. We Americans don't have enemies, right? I mean, seriously, we have people that you know, we may have our troops in different countries, but, you know, if you were to see we wouldn't assume an Afghani was going to hurt us necessarily, or an Egyptian, or an Iraqi, or an Iranian. We wouldn't necessarily think that they would hurt us. And so it's hard for us to imagine kind of someone who we can't possibly expect would help us, helping us. Perhaps we can. I'm going to let that to your own imagination. There are some people, even in our own society, who, because of what has happened to them, perhaps it's crime, perhaps it's addiction, perhaps it's what they do, we would not invite them into our houses. We just probably wouldn't. If they were hungry, we might hand them a loaf of bread, opening the door quickly and shutting it and locking it. We might do that. And so imagine someone who you would not invite to eat with, saving your life and taking care of you and making sure that you're able to get back on your feet again. That's hard to imagine. Again, I'll let that up to you. Who that could be, I don't know. I'll let you figure that out. I tend to think that the Jewish man who was beaten and hurt might have been really surprised that a Samaritan had taken care of him. I tend to think if this was a really interesting parable, it would be nice to see what reaction he had were he to see the Good Samaritan who had taken care of him. Perhaps he would have screamed and said, "Oh my God, there's a Samaritan here in the room with me. He's going to kill me or hurt me." He would have been almost embarrassed, perhaps, thinking that this person who he hated and despised was obviously someone who really cared for him, so much so that he was willing to take his time, to perhaps risk his life, to give money, just to make sure that he was safe. The lawyer who came to Jesus with the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" knew the answer to that question. He knew it in the first couple verses of this gospel story. But he wasn't satisfied. He wanted to know who his neighbors were. Because it was a question that the Jewish people of that time really spent time thinking about. The rabbis and the high priests would say, your neighbor is the person who's related to you through blood or marriage, someone who has a connection to you. Perhaps they're part of your clan. Perhaps they're part of your community. That's who your neighbor is. But Jesus takes that concept and blows it apart, as if to say anyone is your neighbor, and everyone is your neighbor. And if everyone is your neighbor, then we need to care for everyone. Everyone made in the image and likeness of God. And that's just amazing. That is amazing. Only God can even think about such things. I don't talk about public events very much, or national events very much. I tend to believe that you watch television, right? You watch television, you're on the internet, you know, you're on Facebook, you know what's going on in the world. I'm sure that when you see people in trouble, you think about how those people could be helped. Regardless of what color their skin is, or what race they are, or where they came from, or how many kids they have, or what language they speak, or which God they believe in. If a person is in need, you treat them, or you believe they should be treated like a neighbor. That's what we need to keep in our minds and in our hearts. Because there's something about our broken human spirit that wants to say, I'll help you, but you're on your own. I'll help you, but you're in trouble, and so you'll have to pay the price for you being in trouble. I'll help you because you're like me, but that guy down the hall, well, he's not like me. I wish him well, but I'm not going to lift my hand to help him. It's too easy to do that. We're all neighbors. Even if we don't know one another, even if we've never been introduced to one another, even if we're across oceans, even if we don't speak the same language, even if we don't have the same colored clothes, even if our skin is a different color, even if we eat different foods, even if we worship different gods. I would hope that would be what you would get from this afternoon's sermon. There are only neighbors. There are neighbors we know, and there are neighbors we don't know. There are neighbors who live close to us. There are neighbors who will never get a chance to meet because they live very far away. There are some very young neighbors, some newborn children. There are some very old neighbors, some people thinking about moving from this life into another life. Let's treat them all well. Let's treat every human being well, regardless of their circumstances, regardless of their religion, regardless of anything, any wall that we put up between them. That's what I hope you would get from this sermon. Certainly treat each other well, but go far beyond that. It begins here in this church, but it crosses every boundary. Thanks be to God. Amen.